Please turn to Proverbs 31, and we're going to look at verse 30 of Proverbs 31. Over the last year, I've done about 30 exhortations on Proverbs. We've been looking at Proverbs, hitting a variety of themes. And Proverbs is a good book to confess our sins in light of, because it expresses the ideals of wise, godly living, which we often fall short of. But by God's grace, wise, godly living is exactly where we're headed. That's what the Spirit of God works in us, by His grace. And so we do both as we come to the Proverbs. We confess our sins, we thank God for what He's done, and we ask God for more of His grace. So let's look at Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the word of God. This verse comes at the end of a long list of virtuous ideals. If you look at Proverbs 31, there's verse after verse describing this godly woman and what she looks like. It's a large list, and we're not going to read the entire list this morning. We're going to look at this verse, because if there is any verse in the whole list that really encapsulates and summarizes for us what about this woman is important, it is this verse here. She fears the Lord. That's the most fundamental thing. Her economic skills are not as fundamental as her fear of God. Her love for her husband is not as fundamental as her fear of God. All of those are important. They're an outworking of her fear of the Lord. And so it is noteworthy and fitting that the book of Proverbs ends with this verse, that the fear of the Lord is what is most essential. We remember that that's how the book began. Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It is no accident that the book of Proverbs is bookended with the fear of the Lord at the beginning and the fear of the Lord at the end. This is what the book communicates to us. Much like Ecclesiastes says, "Fear God, keep His commandments." This is the whole duty of man. When we began Proverbs last year, we looked at a definition of the fear of the Lord that Charles Bridges gave us, and I thought it was a helpful definition. When it comes to the fear of the Lord, we can miss the fact that this fear is not a fear that is absent of love for God. Fear of God and love for God are not to be separated. They are to be brought together and kept together. They're assumed to be together. This is what Charles Bridges defined the fear of the Lord as. He says, "The fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's law." Now, what Bridges says here is that God is our father. There is an affection that we have for God when we fear him. Fear and love go together. An excellent example of how these are brought together is found in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. You can look there if you'd like. Deuteronomy 10:12, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." These are to be together, brothers and sisters. Fear of God, love of God, serving God. This is what the fear of the Lord looks like. Now, this particular proverb gives us a contrast, as many proverbs do. And it gives us this first line, which is, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing." It is describing the external characteristics of a woman, saying that if she's charming, if she's beautiful, first of all, charm can be deceitful. It doesn't actually tell you much about their character. But then beauty just passes away. It doesn't last. That's what the point of this line is. The word for passing is the same word that is used in Ecclesiastes when Solomon writes, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." It's something that is fleeting. It passes away like a vapor, like a breath. It doesn't stay. And if beauty and outward appearance was the most important thing about us, then everything is downhill from here. If that is what matters, our charm and our beauty or our handsomeness, then we're not doing so good for very long. You're going to hit age 30, and then it's going to be downhill from there. I'm guessing that you've noticed by now that you are not automatically growing fitter. If you are growing fitter, it is because of your effort to do so. You are not probably growing more beautiful or handsome, stronger year by year. That's not what happens in this fallen world. Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians 4 when he says, our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. As we look to the eternal weight of glory, which is so much more impressive than our outward man or our outward woman. So this proverb tells us that we ought not to judge the character of a person, whether it's a woman, or we can apply it to men as well, by their outward appearance, by their charm, by their personality. These things are not fundamental. Now we want to instead look to the fear of the Lord. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now these virtues in Proverbs 31 were written to because a mother was telling her son, this is the kind of woman you should marry. Look for this kind of woman. So young men, this is what you want to look for in the woman that you are to marry. Does she fear the Lord? Does she have a reverence for God, an awe for God? Does she love the Lord? Does she seek the Lord? That is the most fundamental question. That was the purpose of this list. Now, that was its original purpose, but there are important applications for each of us this morning as we confess our sins. And I'll give you two applications in the form of a question. Two applications in the form of a question. Here is the first question. If the fear of God matters more than outward appearance and charm, do I dedicate myself to the pursuit of spiritual things above temporal, short-lived things? This is important for each of us to consider. Do we pursue those things that last unto eternity as a higher value than those things that perish year by year? In 1 Timothy 4, we learn that bodily exercise has some value, Paul says. He's speaking about this external element of us. It has some value. But godliness has value for all things and for all times, for eternity. You can contrast that with other things. Job training has some value, but godliness has value for all things. Academic studies have some value, but godliness has value for all things. Beauty has some value, but godliness has value for all things. Skill in sports may have some value, but godliness is of far more value for all things. So the question is, are my highest values the fear of the Lord, growing in the fear of God, growing in love for God, and glorifying the Lord? The world puts so little priority on spiritual matters. The world is running after things that perish. It's a rat race that is absolutely futile. It ends. Life ends. Money goes away. Beauty perishes. And what do you have to show for it at the end? That's why Ecclesiastes says, all is vanity under the sun apart from God. And if we have been called out of this world, called to faith in Jesus Christ, and have had our eyes open to our lost condition and the mercy of God in Christ, that must change the way that we think about everything, brothers and sisters. It must change what we seek after forever. And these are the most essential priorities. A woman or a man who fears the Lord is to be praised. Secondly, if the fear of God matters more than outward appearance and charm, do I look for this in others and value this in others rather than fleeting things that have little value? This affects our relationships. It affects seeking a wife. It affects our friendships. It affects our family relationships. What are we looking for in one another? If the fear of God is more important than beauty and charm, then the people that we will grow into relationship with will be those who also fear the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 63 describes this. It says, I am a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. Those are our companions. Those are to be those that we seek out. And young people, this is an important application for you, that you do not only seek out those of your peers, but that you say, I want to see somebody who fears the Lord. I want to grow with those who fear the Lord. Praise God if your peers fear the Lord, but look to those that are also older that fear the Lord and that can help you. Now, as we confess our sins, this proverb reveals a tendency about us, a tendency that this proverb pushes against. It is the tendency for us to make evaluations about ourselves and about others and in a very external way. That is the tendency that it pushes against. We are sometimes given to making outward appearance far more important than we should. We're given to judging others based on outward characteristics rather than characteristics of the heart. These things that matter far more. We've set our sights far too low, brothers and sisters, when we look to the outward appearance and we make a quick judgment based on that, rather than looking to the inward beauty of the heart. So as we confess our sins, we bring these things before our merciful Heavenly Father, and let us always remember that we come through Christ, by faith in Christ, and that His blood will cleanse us of all these sins that we bring before Him. So as you confess your sins this morning, I invite you to confess the sins that may align with what this proverb teaches us, but there may be other things this week that you need to bring to the throne of grace. So I invite you now to do that at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins. We recognize that we're not deserving of this forgiveness. We come as beggars. But we are thankful that as beggars, you've promised us a rich inheritance in Christ, and that blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you that you forgive us of all these things. We ask that you would help us not to make judgments about ourselves and about others in an external, temporal way, but that you would help us to set our mind upon things that are above, to value the fear of God, the love of God, the glory of God above these things. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.